On this show, we've been following very closely the global food crisis, and every day there seems to be some new developments. Today, Haiti's parliament, or I should say over the weekend, they voted to dismiss Prime Minister Jacques Alexis following deadly riots over rising food prices. Sunday, a UN police officer was killed in clashes. Last week, four others died. Rioting has broken out from Egypt to Mexico. The World Bank has promised $10 million in food aid to Haiti, and its president of the World Bank, Robert Zoellick, has called on the international community to put their money where their mouths are and to rapidly distribute $500 million in emergency aid.
It's critical that governments confirm their commitments as soon as possible and that others begin to commit. Throughout the weekend, we've heard again and again from ministers in developing countries and emerging economies that this is a priority issue.
Raj Patel, UC Berkeley researcher and author of Stuffed and Starved, The Hidden Battle for the World Food System. Why has this crisis climaxed right now?
Well, at the moment, there's a perfect storm of reasons why prices are going through the roof. So the price of oil, for example, means that farm inputs are much more expensive. Demand for meat means that cereals get diverted away from the bowls of the hungry into the stomachs of livestock. Biofuels means that grains get diverted from food into ways of burning them. And a range of other factors mean that the price of food has gone through the roof. Now, the reason it's strikes so hard is because the economies in which you're seeing these riots are very exposed to international markets, which is why I find it preposterous that Robert Zoellick is sort of trumpeting the cause of the hungry, when it was he, when he was the U.S. trade representative, and he, as head of the World Bank, who's been forcing liberalization down the throats of these countries. So that now when liberalization meaning that countries need to be need to reduce their tariff barriers so that crops can come in without taxes, and need to stop stockpiling grain so that the market can work freely.
It's the old Milton Friedman argument.
It is, and this is what happens when you follow Milton Friedman. That when there is nothing between you and the price of food, these price spikes are communicated directly into the hearts of the poorest communities on the planet.
And you also talk about how it's our eating habits. You mean just in the United States, or are you talking about even, like, say, in China? You're talking about meat production, for example. People are consuming more meat all over the world, including places like China, than ever before.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that certainly the way that we eat today is unsustainable. I don't think there's enough food in the world. There's not enough land in the world to feed all the livestock so that everyone can eat at the level of meat consumption that Americans have. But that's okay. I mean, no one really wants to eat at the level that Americans do. I mean, the American children now have a life expectancy that's 5 years less than their parents because of the kinds of food that are in circulation here.
True?
Yeah, it was in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
So my life expectancy is 5 years less than what my parents?
No. Your children now.
Oh, my. Okay.
Would be 5 years less than yours.
But even that's horrific. But let's get to what you think some of the solutions are ways to address this global problem.